Hey guys, it's Nate with another episode of The Untucked Life. And this is an exciting episode. This is the first episode in a series called Extraordinarily Normal, where I interview people in my network that are otherwise unassuming, but are actually doing some really interesting work. And I try to tease out from them how they got to where they are, what they're doing, how they're living their life a little bit differently. And it's really a unique opportunity, and I'm incredibly fortunate for the first guest to actually be my oldest son. And I'm holding this podcast release date to Father's Day because I can't think of a better way to celebrate Father's Day than to include my oldest son, Aiden, into this project of mine. I'm really excited to share his story. We're so proud of what he's done and how far he's come. And I'm really excited to share his story, his music, and his passion with everyone. So without further ado, here is my conversation with A+. So Aiden, welcome to the podcast.
What's up? Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for making the trip. I know it was downstairs and all the way to the office. I thought it would be a good place to start by asking you to talk a little bit about your homie Max and what you and Max just got done.
Well, originally I was doing some music for this videographer named Garrison, and he was doing some really cool stuff. And then I got in contact with him back in like November, and he started using my songs and stuff eventually. And then Max already subscribed to him, so he was like, man, I like this stuff, let me reach out to this kid. And we were messaging for a little bit, and then around like March he was just like, hey, why don't we collab? And I was just like, sure. And then we worked for like the next month and a half, and we got it done.
What'd you guys get done?
Well, we made a song, and it's called Lost in Our Thoughts. You know, it's out now on all platforms. we wanted to make something pretty relatable to us. So we had a basic topic. We had some basic ideas of what we wanted our vocalist, Camille Moon. He got in contact with her, and we had some ideas that we wanted her to, expand upon, and that's pretty much what she did. She just sent us back the vocals, and we finished the song.
So if we go back to what you were saying about working with videographer Garrison, right? How did you meet? How did you get in contact with Garrison?
Well, I was wasting my life on YouTube one day, and I just saw this one video, and it's probably like his biggest videos, like him sneaking into Lollapalooza, right? Totally illegal, but it was super cool. And he, just the way he put all these visuals and audio together, his song selection was just so great. I was just like, man, this dude is really good. Let me just compliment him. Let me just commend him for being really good, you know?
And then from there, kind of.
From there, I was just like, I just sent him some of my stuff, and he was like, hey, this is pretty good. And then I didn't message him for a while, and then eventually, I was just like, hey, I remember this dude. I was just going through DMs one day on Instagram. I was just like, oh, I remember this dude. He was really good. And messaged him back, and I sent him some of my more recent stuff, and he was like, hey, this is really sick. How about, can I use some of this? And I was like, sure.
And when you say that you and Max work together to collab on a song, what does that actually mean for people that have no idea what collabing on a song means, and what does that look like? Because Max doesn't live here.
Yeah, well, Max, for most of you who don't know, Max lives in Wisconsin, and I live in Florida. And, you know, if you don't know geography, it's pretty ways away. So he sent me just this little idea he had, and it was just like a basic little just electronic chords, and I was just like, oh, this is sick. So I made like half of a song out of it, just like really really rough idea. And he was like, oh, I like this. Can you send me like the stems, which is like the individual parts of each individual instrument? And so I did that, and I sent it to him through Dropbox. I'd export each and every part of it as an MP3 file, which is terrible. So we have a much better system for that now, but at the time that's all we knew how to do. So we would send it to each other in Dropbox, each folder for our collab that we sent back was like 2 gigs. So we had like 2 gigabyte folders that we were sending back and forth of just this updated version of this song, and we FaceTimed a lot and like went through and like talked about our ideas and had to really figure out how to really bring this this vision to life. And eventually, over a month and a half of something that really should have only taken maybe like 3 weeks, we finished it.
And just so everybody knows, how old is Max?
Max is 15, just like me.
And you're also 15.
Yeah.
Right. So what's interesting to me is, how did you know how to do this stuff?
All like the music production stuff in general?
Just the collaboration. How'd you do, where'd you figure out how to do that with someone who's in a different state? How'd you figure that out?
Yeah, well, about like, what was it, June now? About maybe 8 months ago, back in November, I downloaded this video editing app on my phone. And in order to bring audio in there and like MP3 files, you have to have a Dropbox account. So I made myself a Dropbox account and sent myself a couple songs just so I could have them on my phone, and I just used them. But then I just never used Dropbox after like 2 days. And then eventually he was just like, hey man, how about I send you some of these some of this stuff through Dropbox? And I was just like, oh, I'm pretty sure I have that account. So I just logged into Dropbox, and I literally put everything into a folder, and I just I just dragged it into the share option, and I entered his email, and he just worked on it. And when he sent it back, I was just like, man, this kid is really good. And I listened to maybe like one of his songs, and I was like, man, this kid is really good. And I didn't really listen to all of his songs at first, and I didn't really know the detail of like his knowledge. He's taught me some really cool stuff. I've taught him some really cool stuff. It's really a collaboration. There's no like, if someone asks us like who did more of the work for our song, it's like, well, it's 50-50, if he didn't do some of the stuff, the part I did would just sound, empty. And if the part he did didn't have, my input, it would also just sound empty. So that's why like our strengths and weaknesses really, really, they really help each other out, They're really,
And just overall, like in music production, how did you or even Max get to the point where you're at now? It's not like you're taught that stuff in school, or you grew up, in the studio and your parents are artists or anything like that. So how did you get to the point where now you're in a position that you can do a collaboration with someone across the country who uses a different software than you do? How did you get to this point?
Well, it's really, a lot of people say, success is not like an overnight thing. And a lot of people are like, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it can be done. You got people out there like, Jake Paul, and he's, screaming diss tracks over YouTube saying, I got 5 mil on YouTube in 6 months. And, that's probably like not anybody's case. That's very unreasonable. And I've been at it for like the whole music thing. I've just been grinding and just going really, really hard, just trying to just perfect my craft for like 3.5 years now. And I'm a freshman in high school. I've been doing this.
You're a sophomore now.
Well, I'm a sophomore now. So I've been doing this since like 7th grade, probably before that, just messing around with different stuff. And I really was bad for a long time. And if you go on my Instagram, which is A+ official, by the way, if you go on my Instagram, you can really, really see the growth, you know.
Shameless plug.
Nah. But if you do go on my Instagram, you can see, because that's the one platform where I do not delete like anything, because when you go on all these other artists' profiles, you see just like their first releases on like a major record label, and you're just like, man, he just started out good. So I really want people to like see me as like a real person, and I want them to see that, you know, I used to suck.
Yeah.
My stuff used to suck so much. It used to be so bad. And, you know, it takes time and effort, and just like, I remember I would make like 12 posts a day for like weeks. Like it was just like, I would just work for like on music just for like 8 hours a day, like last summer. And I just kept doing it, and you know, my stuff probably sucked, but I learned something new with every single, you know, track that I tried to put out, or tried to get myself out there. And that's really like a lot, that's like 80% of, you know, making it, is you have to actually, because there's tons of people out there who are trying to be, you know, like rappers or producers. And there's even more people who would just be like, yeah, I would be a rapper, I would be a producer, you know, but they never act on that dream or that vision. And you know, that's probably one of the biggest regrets in life, that I just can't have.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And if you think back with music, what was the point, or can you remember a time where you just knew, like, it just clicked, like music is the thing that I want to do?
Well, it's a tough road, you know. I was just got myself a new nifty iPhone.
Yeah, you got yourself a new nifty iPhone, didn't you?
My parents bought me a nifty iPhone when I was in like 7th grade, and terrible thing. Kids shouldn't have phones, because it just destroys their social life. But I got myself a phone, and immediately my grade just plummeted. It just went down. And for like multiple months, I was just like living in this cycle of just not really living, just surviving, you know. And it's not like I was doing well in school, so everyone was just like, what are you doing? And I was just kind of like a mindless zombie, just how most, you know, regular people are today. And then my awesome dad decided to take me to this Chainsmokers concert. And at first I was like, whatever, like I've heard a couple of their songs, I think it's pretty cool. And then we went there, and in the opening act, there's just this one song by I think it was a kid, K? That's how you spell it. Yeah, he played this song, and it was pretty heavy, but it was also like it had some melodic elements to it. And I was just like, man, this is what I want to do. This is really cool. How cool would it be if I did this? And you know, maybe like half an hour passed, and then the Chainsmokers themselves came out, and they played some of their songs, and just some of it was just so emotional. I was just like, man, I'm gonna cry. This is great. Why am I not doing this? If these people can do this, why am I not out here just living this adrenaline rushed life? It's just seems so magical. It was just like everything is in slow motion for the whole night. It was great.
Yeah. And how do you think things have changed since you kind of had that experience, or maybe that new appreciation for what's possible as far as like your career or your life or your future?
Well, from the outside looking in, when you hear like a song, you're just like, oh, this song is cool, I like this or this. But when you become a producer, or introduced to new to like even producing like software and stuff, you're just like, man, there's so much effort and time and just investment into you know, a single song. And there's just so many different elements, and it's just, it's really crazy. You really become like a lot more, I'm trying to think of the word, you just become a lot more, I don't know, just like into the song. You're just really more engaged. Yeah. You know, you become like, oh, I like how this person did this with this song, or I like how this person did whatever with this song. And you just, you have a much, like, you have a way new appreciation for, yeah, for music. And it's really a beautiful thing.
What about the rest of your life? What about socially or academically or, you know, any of that stuff?
Like how music has, like, affected it? Well, in middle school, because I, you know, I sucked, I wouldn't show, like, anyone ever. Maybe, like, one or two people knew about it, but, like...
Your music, you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't tell anybody ever under, like, no circumstances. I would try and hide it, but now I'm, like... Now, I'm, like, if we're talking about music, people usually talk to me, you know? They're, like, oh, you like this song? And I'm, like, no, the song is garbage. I'm, like... Dude, how do you think this song is garbage? And I'm like, well, and then I give them a bunch of technical reasons, and they're like, oh, huh, it makes sense.
So you mentioned music and how that event kind of changed things for you. How did that impact, like, your social life and school and all of that?
Well, when my music used to not be... like good at all, I wouldn't share it to anyone, and I would just always like hide it, you know, even though it meant everything to me. But at a certain point, my stuff just started getting, you know, like good enough that I would like be confident enough to share it, because I would like, I posted like one thing one time, and even though it was like, to me, I thought it was terrible, but like a bunch of my friends were like, hey, you make music, that's pretty fire. And that just, now then I just started posting everything, and people actually started like seeing the stuff that I did, and they're like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. So, but then when the school year, you know, started back up, and I was still trying to do music, music, just the mindset that I was in, I was like, well, if I want to make a living off of music, I should be focusing on music and only music. But, you know, there's more to life than just music. There's also school, and I wasn't involved in sports at the time, and I wasn't involved in like any like extracurricular activities except for, you know, junior honor society, because I was like a nerd. But I just wanted to only do music at the time, and that was not really good for my grades. So I developed this crazy skill I call speed producing. It's because I would
yeah. Why did you have to develop the speed producing skill? Let's hear about that.
Well, when I would only try and do music, my grades would drop to below C's, and my parents weren't too happy about that. So they would, you know, they'd be like, well, you have unearned music. And I was like, oh man. So then like maybe like one day in a month, my grades would be good enough that I could do music for that day, and I would have to make the most out of that day. And if I wanted to put some sort of content out on some sort of regular basis, I would have to, you know, I would have to push out a song in a single day. You know, I only had a couple hours to do it, so I would have to be incredibly time efficient. That's not why now I'm just very like, I take more time to do stuff now, and I try and put more thought and more effort into stuff. But I would like condense a lot of time and effort into like a couple hours, so I could put out a whole song. So now that my grades are good, it was actually pretty beneficial to me, because now I'm just incredibly time effective with all things career.
You're incredibly time efficient with what things?
Time efficient. All things
music.
Well, music.
That's
yeah.
good. That's
and
just clarify
art
that
because
point.
I can draw and too. Art. Like yeah, that's like my career wise.
Yeah, and one thing to point out, you mentioned that you've been doing music for what, 3 years probably?
3.5.
But it really hasn't been 3.5 years because so much of that time you weren't allowed to do music.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's probably half of that time, because as a parent to a talented young creative who is obviously very capable of doing something like music or even art, it is very challenging to try to guide them, so to speak, in making sure that they're still taking school seriously. They're not just, you know, getting by, because although right now the dream might be, you know, I'm just going to make it big, and we talk about this all the time, but that doesn't mean you should just blow up your high school transcripts and just, you know, make or break, because there could be opportunities for going to a music college or anything that if you blow your grades up because all you want to do is music, you won't have that opportunity. But it is and has been the hardest parenting, you know, situation that I've been through since being a parent, is trying to balance a kid who's got so much natural ability, but at the same time you want to teach him to be a good, responsible human being. So that has been a learning experience really for the both of us, I think, because on my side, learning how to, you know, get through to Aiden and realize that, you know, his mind thinks differently than mine, although we're alike in a lot of areas, but specifically with music and art, but still try to convey, you know, the importance of things like working and, you know, school
and having a job you hate,
having a job, period, earning your own money, buying your own stuff. And not just, you know, dreaming about, you know, closing Lollapalooza. Right. So it has been definitely has been quite the learning experience. So if we go back to music, Aiden, right? So where did you start, and where did you acquire the know-how to this point? How did you go about that without any professional training?
Well, there's this thing called YouTube.
Yep.
And YouTube is just, it's great for so many things. I just wish people would utilize it for the amount of knowledge that you could just, like, learn. You could learn, like, anything off of just YouTube alone. Not even Google, but, like, just YouTube. There's so many, like, visual representations of just different things that can help you so much.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was just, like, I would listen to a lot of my favorite artists, and I would just try and focus maybe on, like, one or two sounds, right? Maybe, like a certain kick, or maybe like a little clap that they have in there, or just some, the way they built their chords and their chord progressions. So I would try and focus on one thing, and then at first I would try and sound like one person for a certain period of time, right? Like I would go through these phases and these different
stages.
Who
are some of those people that you tried to sound like?
Well, there was a lot. One of the first was, well, because the Chainsmokers were like the first and only people I've ever, you know, went to go out and see live. At first, I was like, man, I want to make music like the Chainsmokers. Turns out pop music is really hard to make. And so then, like, maybe 3 weeks to, like, a month later, I was just like, well, Martin Garrix is up there, and there's no vocals in his songs. I mean, there are now, because they're a lot more pop-based. But at the time, you know, 3 years ago, a lot of his stuff was very just, you know, boom, clap with a little melody over it. And I was like, oh, that's sick. So a lot of my stuff was very housey, and there was just a lot of very just monotone rushing and just gross sounding stuff. And but then I would watch a tutorial, and or I would watch the Chainsmokers, because the Chainsmokers have these tour vlog called That Time, and I would just watch a ton of those, and I still watch a ton of those whenever, because there's stages when I'm just like, man, what if I don't make it? That would suck, you know? And so I just have to, you know, keep myself going, keep pushing through, even though there's times when I feel like I'm just doing nothing with my life, I would have to listen to, you know, the songs that got me started.
So just real quick, one thing you said was you tried to recreate the sounds of other artists, and lucky for you, every single one of Martin Garrix's songs sounds exactly the same. So that's a really easy one to try to mimic. But there is this whole paradigm with art in general. And there's an author that I was listening to the other day, Austin Kleon. He's got a book called Steal Like an Artist. And what he basically says is you mimic the people that that kind of you look up to. And then you kind of take little pieces of what they're doing that you like, and then you apply that to your own sound. So I think that's really, really cool that, you know, at 15, and I know you haven't read that book, you were able to kind of figure that out.
Right.
That, and I think that's really positive. And I remember you kind of breaking down, like you would watch a video, let's say either by Flex Pavilion or someone else, and you were just trying to recreate like a certain section in their song.
Right.
And then once you kind of figured that stuff out, it was almost like a utility belt, right? Now you know how to do that. Now you can apply it to your own song. So I thought, I think that that, you know, that point is really cool. And the fact that you're watching kind of what the lifestyle is in the career field that you want. I know it's through a vlog, but still, I think so many people say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a businessman, and they have no clue what that actually means outside of,
right.
you know, watching Grey's Anatomy or something.
Right.
So the fact that you have access, albeit through YouTube, to see what this looks like, I think that that's probably a really good piece of advice for other people,
right?
Try to mimic what the people that you aspire to be like are doing. That's a really good way to learn.
Right. Just like certain sections, you know, are just really, really, they're just really beneficial. Like if you watch this one video on how this artist made this, you're like, oh, well, I like how this person, I don't know, let's say how, like you said, Flux Pavilion. I like how Flux Pavilion did this, like made this synthy sound, you know, made this piano, how he does one thing, and then you just try and mimic that, and you know, just so you're not stealing. What I do is a lot of times I will try and find like a certain, I don't know, like preset, or I'll watch like YouTube tutorials on how to make a sound, and then I'm like, okay, so because I don't want to sound like everybody else who have watched this same video, I'm just gonna mess with the sound a little bit more, and I take, you know, an extra 15, 20, 30 minutes to just really make it how I want it to sound.
Yeah.
You know, so then I have like the same bass structure of the sound, but I also have it sounds more like me, you know?
Yep.
So it's a really, really helpful thing to do.
And one thing I'm just thinking about when you're talking about making different sounds in really songs, how did you get more comfortable, or maybe are you still working on getting more comfortable, letting people listen to your songs in front of you?
Well, I went up to my teacher the other day. I just played my song in front of the whole class. And so I think I'm getting a lot better. I remember... I'm really, really self-conscious about my name.
About your producer tag?
Yeah, A+. It sounds cool. And when you, like, think of it, not in a mocking fashion, it's a pretty cool name, you know? Like how Deadmau5, he was just like, well, I wanted to put Deadmau5 as my MySpace name. But, you know, there's too many letters. So I just switched it up and put a 5 in there as an S. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do the same thing. So I did APLU5. And now, you know, certain people, like... my mom liked to call me A+5, and just people like just like my friends, they'll call me A+, but they'll also when they're just messing with me, they'll be like, dude, you should check out my friend A+5.
He's haters. Haters.
Yeah, he's just fire. Haters. They're just messing with me because they're my homies, but it's just.
And one thing Aiden does is whenever specifically the Jeep, whenever we're in the Jeep, he wants to control the radio with his phone. So what he'll do is he'll play a song that I've heard before, play another song I've heard before, and then he'll slide in one of his songs and not say anything and wait to hear what I say. So I think, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago? We're in the Jeep and he's playing some song. And I'm like, what is this? And he was like, oh, this is a song I made the other day. And it's good because, one, you hear your own work, right? And you're getting more and more comfortable sharing with people. I know, even still, like if I play the podcast out loud and I just hear myself talk, it's just really weird.
Yeah, just like,
and it just makes cringe. you know, really self-conscious. So just the fact that, and I mean, I'm 34, so just the fact that at 15, and I know before you're a lot more self-conscious than you are now, that you are more and more comfortable. And even if it's me sharing your music with some of my friends, that even if it's a little bit awkward, you'll play it or you'll send it or you'll, you know, right, talk about it. And I think that's really good because there's plenty of grownups that
right,
are totally uncomfortable and would never, ever do that. So right, I think that's really big because one thing that we talk about a lot is literally just putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's Instagram, whether it's, you know, SoundCloud. But that's one thing that I did want you to touch on is kind of the distribution side of it. Like, how did you get yourself on Spotify with no representation, or like, how did you figure that out?
Well, I don't really remember how, but I met this dude online. He was he's just like 2-3 years older than me. His name is Sam Stone. That's his DJ name.
This is the guy from Europe.
Yeah, he's like somewhere in the UK. He's a pretty chill dude. He makes a lot of like Jaws type songs. He's pretty cool, but like I saw one day that he was on Spotify, and I messaged him. I was like, hey man, how did you do that? Because that is like one of, like, I was like, I had no idea how to do it. And like, I even messaged Spotify and Twitter one time. I was like, hey, I want to get my song on Spotify, could you help me out?
And
no, that's not how you do it. So he told me about this website that he used called Rootnote, and it's like this European website. It's I thought it was kind of shady at first, but you know, if it got him on Spotify, it was whatever. So I just started putting my stuff out there, and it's super easy. They're a lot more stricter and more strict now than on like the album parameters and stuff, and they were, because like back when I first started, like 2 years ago, getting my song, or a year ago, getting my songs on Spotify, I would just put in some random image from the internet as my album art. I wouldn't even get my own. I would just steal some image.
Nice.
And then, well, that's part of the reason I switched my names real quick. Because I was like, well, if I get famous and they go back to my early songs, I'm not getting sued.
Yeah.
So I you could just steal some random image from the internet and upload any quality song. But now it's like your song has to be high quality, you know, and they scan your artwork to make sure it's not, you know, stolen. So that's nice.
Yeah.
So now it's a lot. It's like an alternative for those who don't have like any money at all.
Well, before you get distribution.
You're right.
Right.
So
you kinda create your own.
Most people are using stuff like DistroKid, which is like you paid $20 for like a year and it just puts your stuff out there. It's a lot more professionally made. But like Root Note is just like, you know, you keep 85% of the royalties and it's free.
Yeah.
You know?
And at 15, you're talking about royalties from songs that you made that are on Spotify.
Right.
So, I mean, if that's pretty cool. And for the most part, you figured all that stuff out on your own. I know that you asked me some questions about the legitimacy of the website and maybe some stuff about PayPal or whatever it was. But for the most part, you figured all that stuff.
Right.
All that stuff out, which is great because I think it probably for your sake too, it makes you feel a little bit more legitimate if you can say, well, yeah, I'm a producer and look me up on Spotify.
Right.
Same thing like with the podcast, it felt a lot more real when I found it on iTunes.
Right.
Before that, it's like, yeah, well, yeah, right. But there's no distribution associated with it. So that's really cool. And before we wrap up, do you have any parting advice for younger, right? Maybe your age or even older people that feel like, you know, they want to be creative, but they don't know where to start or they don't know, you know, what to do.
Well, you know, every single like interview that I've watched, they're just like, oh, practice makes perfect. And that's just the same thing. And I really don't want to just say that because that's just so basic. I mean, it's true. Don't get me wrong, but that's just BS. Everyone's just saying that. And I don't want to be like everyone else. So if you start with anything creative, you're not gonna get famous off of that first thing. If you really want something, you really have to try. And, you know, yeah, practice. But if you don't like it, don't do it. You know, you're just ruining it for the people who do want it, you know? And if you want it but you don't want it bad, there's always gonna be someone working harder than you. And that's like one of the biggest things that motivates me. Whenever I'm like, man, I'll just stop music for the night and it's like, you know, it's 9. Then I'm just like, wait, but what if there's a kid a block or two blocks away from me? I actually have a friend who's a block away from me, you know? What if he, you know, works an extra hour and posts his song that, you know, I was gonna post, you know, tomorrow, but he posts his tonight, and Tay Keith happens to just be or Drake just happens to be scrolling through Instagram and finds that hashtag, and, you know, he gets picked up by Drake and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always like this. So you want to try and make friends with people. You don't want to have connections. You really want to like build relationships with people, because that's like the biggest thing that I hate, when people or I see people just going to artists and just sending SoundCloud links. No one's gonna view your stuff if that's it. So what I do is I'll message the artist and say, you know, oh, I like your stuff. From a producer's perspective, I think your stuff is really cool. I like how you did this. And then I just won't link anything. And then I'll try and, you know, build a connection. So it's not just like, I want to, you know, be friends with this person. I'm not just trying to be like, oh, send me your promo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And there's some bigger artists that like follow you on Instagram and have messaged you or messaged you back or answered your questions. I think it probably is a lot to do with the fact that you're not looking for a handout necessarily, right? You're not saying, oh my God, I made this song, it's the best song ever, you should, you know, sign me to your
Can
label
you
tomorrow.
Give me feedback or whatever?
Yeah,
I
so
hate that.
I think that's really interesting. and really good advice for people. And I know that you've said that people are starting to do that with you, to like send you some songs and say, hey, what do you think about this song?
I'm just like, I literally said this. Hey man, that is a terrible marketing technique. I'm not going to listen to your song because of that's how you marketed it to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. And then they just don't respond. But like, I'm a very real person. If I like your stuff, I'm going to be like, hey man, this is really good. You could change this to make it better, but I like your stuff. I know I'm not the best producer, and you know, there's probably a ton of producers better than me, right? But I know enough to give honest feedback and to know how to, I know enough about, you know, just being social to know, oh, that's not how you're supposed to talk to a person. You know, if I saw an artist out on the street, I'm not just gonna go up to him and just shove a flash drive in his face with my song and be like, hey man, sign me. That's not what you do. You have to, like, if you meet someone, you know, and you like their stuff, you're gonna, you know, try and know them. That's what you should do. You know, all these people just going out there and just sending links. Sometimes people just send links and not even send like anything else. Yeah. It's just, I used to do that for like the first 4 or 5 songs that I did. And then when no one responded, eventually I was just like, I don't think this is how I'm supposed to be doing it. You know?
When you watch Gary Vee.
And I watch Gary Vee.
And he's pretty
he's hardcore,
direct as far as how you should reach out to people, specifically in the DMs. So that's really good. Can you take a minute and just talk about how you think about and even talk about the future and what your musical career path might look like?
Well, there's this quote out there that says, those who can and those who can't are both usually right. And if you're working like really hard, let's say I'm working, you know, hard, and then, you know, at like 9 o'clock, I'm like, well, it's getting late. It's not like I'm going to get famous right now. And I just go to bed. If I have that mindset, you know, that if I get famous or if I make it, you know, versus someone who's just constantly just like, yeah, when I make it, when, because that's what I like to do, is whenever someone's like, or whenever some of my friends, you know, when they're just like, yeah, man, if, you know, when me and you make the song, you know, if somehow it blows up, and I'm just like, you mean when? Like, I always correct them. I'm just like, dude, you gotta have this, like, a certain, like, successful mindset, you know? If me or my friend who lives, like, literally right down the street, he also makes music, but he's a lot more, like, into beats and stuff. But if I'm working hard and then I just, you know, quit, there's, like, that saying that says, you know, there's always going to be someone around the block from you working twice as hard. That's like literally possible for me. Mm-hmm. So that's just like a constant motivator for me, you know, if versus when, you know, if has like a negative connotation to it. And when is a lot more like, you know, positive. I'm going to do it, a lot more motivating.
Where did that sense of resolve or maybe confidence come from, you think?
Well, I think it's just always been in me, like, ever since I started getting into the whole music thing, because it was just, like, I wasn't really into music until I was, and when I was, when I just became, like, really, really into music, I just, it was from, like, 0 to 100 in, like, a day, so it was, like, the next week, I went to work with my dad, and I just, like, played the piano all day and just watched vlogs of DJs, and I was just working and just beating on my craft, you know, just trying to make a ton of music, just trying to put anything out, you know. It's not, like, a lot of these people, I would take videos of all of my stuff. It's on my Instagram. So, you know, a lot of these people, they don't post or put out anything unless it's just like, you know, absolutely, you know, top tier, you know, and then they'd put out that one thing on something, and I would just put it out on SoundCloud, because you can always delete it from SoundCloud, and I have deleted stuff from SoundCloud, but, like, that's why now I'm a lot, once I went and changed my, I used to be, for some reason, when I made it, when I was, you know, 14, I decided I would put my, my Spotify name is A+ Official. It was just very, like, messy, you know? And now that I'm on A+, it's just, I'm going to be only putting out my heart and soul, you know? I'm just going to always be putting out stuff that I truly, truly love, you know? So, that's probably, it's probably what I'm going to be doing. And I'm just going to make sure that I only give the fans, you know, the best.
And if you're, I imagine if you're only putting out your best stuff, then it's a lot easier to think about things in terms of when versus if.
Right.
Right. Because if you're leaving it all out there, then there's not really much else you could do. So I guess if you were slacking, then it might be easier, or it might be more likely to say if, because you don't really believe it. But if you're really doing everything you can to make it,
then it's a lot more just like, well, I mean, you know, the whole karma thing. I mean, you know, some people don't really believe it. I'm not, you know, the biggest believer in certain things like karma, or everything happens for a reason, and horoscopes.
But the just, Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, though, sure. Of course.
100%. But just, I believe that hard work will be rewarded, you know? And if someone puts their life and just, like, their soul into, like, one thing, I believe that that thing is going to reward them, whether it's, you know, negative or positive, you know? Like, I think if you're a great drug dealer, then you're probably going to get arrested because more people know of you, and then more people recommend you, and eventually you're going to get spread around to a cop, and then that's just your reward for, you know, being a drug dealer. But, you know, if you're a aspiring rapper and you're just rapping constantly and you're just going at it, just like it's like if you, like, if you have to think of it like if you don't do it, then you're just, you know, you see all these people. I know you've seen the movie Pursuit of Happiness, right?
Of course.
Yeah, great movie. But he just wants to be happy, you know? And to be happy, he really needs a lot less than most of us, you know, want. We're all like, oh, I want the new iPhone. I want an Apple Watch. I want AirPods and stuff. But you have to just be, you know, content with a lot of the basic stuff. And, you know, people who put their life into one thing that they feel will make them happy, you know, it'll probably, you know, reward them to them being happy at some point, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot more fulfilling if you're pursuing something that you really care about.
Right.
And it's not like, just to be clear, it's not like Aiden was given the equipment, the software, the, you know, headphones, all that stuff. I mean, just as an example, how did you come about the MacBook that you use right now? Just so people out there don't think, oh, well, I don't have it as good as you, and I can't do that because my parents can't help me or whatever. How did you get that MacBook?
I mowed a lawn for like 7 months, like every weekend for 7 months. And our hill is devastating for an average lawnmower. And I'm a below average lawnmower. So it was really hard, and it would take me 3 hours. And a lot of times it was like, man, I'm just so far away from my goal. And I would help people move stuff from their houses, and I would go and do different community service stuff that my parents would deem as, you know, like, money worthy. And I wouldn't actually get any of this money. It would just go towards this imaginary fund towards this laptop. And every time I would be working on a song and someone would be like, hey, you want to do this or you want to do that? And then my computer would just crash in the middle of it. That was just more motivation for me to get a better computer.
The old one?
Yeah. But this old one, it couldn't be taken off the charging point or charging port, like, at all.
Yeah.
It would just die. So if I wanted to take it anywhere, I had to have a plug. And the plug was huge and bulky. And it really wasn't, you know, big. It wasn't that good. The camera on it didn't really work.
And you remember it ran out of storage?
Ran out of storage.
The hard drive constantly. Almost failed, and we had to try and save all the music, and it was ugly. And what about the software? How did you get the software?
Well, a lot of the software that I got, I would have to, whatever like amount of money that I would get, my parents would pay half for. Because, you know, they're still going to help me out and support me, but they still want me to work for it. And because I'm just so blessed to be, you know, given that opportunity to have parents that will, you know, meet me halfway, help me out here and there, but to still have me have that same appreciation for the different equipment, different stuff.
Yeah.
It really helps me. Just like how I said earlier, how, you know, I have to speed produce. Now my work ethic is like really, really, consistent, really, really good. It seems like it sucks at the moment. And then you look back on it, and no matter how bad it seems, you're going to be pretty much always being thankful for like the experiences that you have, no matter, you know, how terrible they were. Like my parents, they always make me like when we're at McDonald's, or I have like really, really bad like social anxiety, or I used to.
If it comes to asking for barbecue sauce or a refill, but shouting yeah. out to some famous person and striking up a conversation with them, yeah, no problem with that.
Yeah, or playing a festival in front of 40,000 people, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Totally won't be nervous.
But I just don't want to go and ask the cashier or
for
barbecue sauce, man. It was really bad. So they would make me go up and ask, or they've always had me order my own food for, you know,
at
out
most.
To eat or out anywhere. They would always make me, and I would get really nervous for a long period of time. Remember one time my dad was pushing me and my mind just blank. So I pushed him back. I was just like, yo, stop. And he was just like, nah, you're going to order. And I ordered, and, you know, it's just now, you know, I'm a, art club officer. And I'm probably going to be giving a lot of our main messages because I'm deemed one of the most charismatic and most, like, extroverted people now, even though, you know, I'm really, really not.
Yeah. Well, so. And that's part of, I think, our role as parents is to obviously support you, right, and your brothers, but also to help you guys develop...
keen social skills.
Well... I don't know about keen, but social skills, and to help you support you guys and enable you to pursue your dreams, but also help you build that appreciation that not all things are free. And if you want something, you have to work at it.
Right.
And I remember plenty of days, Aiden laying in the driveway while taking a break from mowing the lawn, like, this is absolutely the worst thing I've ever done.
Why can't you just give me
life.
That laptop?
Why can't you just give me the laptop? Exactly. And we wouldn't do it because, you know, at a certain point, if you're really serious about this music stuff, if you really want, you know, to pursue it, I'll help you, but this is what you have to do in order to earn it. And he did. And then at the end of it, the first thing you did was cover the laptop in the most obnoxious stickers ever. So now we know exactly which one is his MacBook, so it doesn't get confused with mine. But it is a balance from a parenting standpoint to, obviously you want to give your kids everything, but that won't help them. So we found a happy medium with Aiden specifically around, you know, leveraging birthdays, but also work. For him to help him contribute towards his own career. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it helps you appreciate the different software, the different, having that horrible laptop for however long makes you appreciate your MacBook
so much more.
So much more, which sounds crazy, but it's just like when I used to drive around that little purple car with no air conditioning and hubcaps. Now you appreciate the Jeep so much more because you had to drive around. I had to drive around that other car that used to overheat. So it's just, it's all part of the process.
Yeah. So everything just, it really, you know, a lot of things that my parents, you know, they implemented on me. A lot of them, I really hated them during the time, but I'm really grateful that they did the things that they did, because now I'm, you know, I'm a lot more social, and I know how to talk to people. I know how to carry myself, and I know how to like approach people. You know, now I can like go up to people and talk to them, and you know, I only have my parents to thank for that, you know, and I'm really glad they did that. It was really helpful.
Just don't forget manager, first manager, at least for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Until Scooter comes along.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, Aiden, where can people find your music?
Well, as I said before, APLU5, A+, you know, that's me. If you, go into www.soundcloud.com/APLU5official, all lowercase, no caps, no spaces. It's that's my SoundCloud. My SoundCloud just has all of my links. It has my YouTube, it has my Spotify. My Spotify is just APLU5A+. That's it. If you look up my name on Spotify and you see the official, do not click on that one. That is my old profile. That's where the whack stuff is.
So you should definitely listen to
so
that.
So don't listen to the one with official after it. Listen to the one that's just A+, because it's a lot better. It's a lot more professional, and that's where you can find my SoundCloud. Is where you can find everything. That's where, if you have to email me, that's where you can email me. It's where it has links to my YouTube, has links to my SoundCloud, has links to my Twitter, my Insta, has everything. So make sure you go check that out, and thank you for having me on this sick podcast.
No problem. In closing, I know Mom and I have told you this, but it's very impressive what you've been able to do over the short, maybe 3-4 years that you've been doing music. We're very proud of the progress you've made, and I think to other people specifically, what you've been able to do, what you've been able to figure out and teach yourself is very inspiring, and hopefully will help other kids, maybe some other young kids that are aspiring to potentially be producers or whatever it is, to get out there and start learning, and that, you know, you can teach yourself how to do this stuff if you spend the time, right? There are resources out there like YouTube and, you know, SoundCloud, etc., where you can start to, you know, develop these skills and pursue really your dreams. So thank you. And that wraps up another episode of The Untucked Life, the first episode in the Extraordinarily Normal series, where I interview otherwise unassuming individuals that I know in my network and try to share what they're doing with you in hopes to inspire you to pursue whatever those things are that you've been meaning to pursue. And again, thank you to our special guest, A+. I will link in the podcast description to his SoundCloud, his Spotify, all of that if you want to discover his music. And if you enjoyed the podcast, if you've enjoyed any of the podcast, please leave a review, subscribe, think about sharing with someone you know or everyone you know, because that's the easiest way for us to get discovered by other people and for us to grow our audience. And remember, here at The Untucked Life, we care a lot more about a lot less. Thanks.